Welcome to Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group and Trading Technologies. For more information on the show, visit us online at futuresradioshow.com. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hello, everyone. Anthony Crudelli here, and welcome to another episode of Futures Radio Show. We have an amazing guest for the show today. Her name is Lydia Finkley. She is the CIO at FM Capital Group, and she specializes in Forex markets, specifically the British pound and the major FX pairs. She explained to us why she believes traders should start out by focusing on one market or product and really master it before moving to other markets. She also discusses how the central banks are really the only fundamental influencer right now when it comes to trading currencies. We talk about the post-Brexit currency trading environment, and Lydia gives us her take on technical levels she is watching in the pound and other currency pairs. She goes on to tell us why she sees a rally in the pound before they make new lows. It was great hearing from a top currency trader and successful entrepreneur like Lydia. She gave us great insight on her journey to become a trader and how she approaches her day-to-day strategy. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Lydia, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here. Now, you're a first-time guest, and as we do with all of our first-time guests, we'd like to ask you if you could give us a little backstory on yourself and how you got started in the industry.
Sure. I've been trading stocks since I was in high school, and I already had a money market account with Charles Schwab, and so when I learned about stocks, I went in and I bought a mutual fund that did really well back then. This is, what, the late 90s? I think about after college, after grad school, I came back home and my mom is the one who put me into Forex. And she told me, you know, you can trade currencies. And I said, you can't do that. And as soon as I said that, I realized you probably can do that. And I went with her to actually a seminar for a system that was being sold. And that's how I got into Forex trading.
Oh, isn't it great when parents help you get started in the industry?
Right.
Get that support. I mean, to start that young, I also started when I was really young. My parents really didn't know about the industry, but it's fun when you can get started young and then you can kind of learn all different aspects of it and then decide where you want to head into the industry.
Right.
So before we got on the line today, you and I were talking a little bit about specialization over generalization, and I really loved your points on this. I mean, you talked about, traders should be picking markets to trade that they understand first, and then going from there. Can you explain to our listeners what you mean by specialization over generalization?
Sure. So for me, generalization is when we first start, I think all of us, we trade everything. So if you're in the stock market, you're trading all stocks you can. If you're specifically in Forex, you're trading the entire universe of currency pairs or major currency pairs. And I found for me, that was my quickest way to blowing up a couple of accounts. And when I started to really hone in on the pairs that spoke to me. And I really believe that certain investment vehicles, certain currency pairs jive with your personality. They move in a way that you can anticipate, that you can get a feel for what the direction is going to be and where your entry and exit should be using whatever technical indicators you use. So I found when I started to pare down and really stick to the British pound that I started to have a lot more success. And so for me, that's specialization. I only trade British pound. I get questions on the euro dollar. I'll watch. I know what levels it is trading, but the euro never spoke to me, which is funny because it's one of the major pairs, one of the major currency pairs. It never spoke to me. I could never get a read on it. And oddly enough, it was the Great British pound versus the US dollar, which made the most sense for me, for my personality. So that's I think that's really key to becoming successful. And I think from there, once you get those specialties down, then you can then start to venture into other markets and get broader.
Yeah, no, I like what you said there. Get something that's your style. I mean, because I think that you have to find a market just like a strategy that's your style.
Right.
And great points, Lydia. Now, let's talk about trading fundamentals and technicals. I know that you and I have discussed that you trade both. And right now you have some, you know, important thoughts on both the technicals and the fundamentals in the British pound that you believe all of us as traders and investors should be watching for what could happen the rest of this year. Can you please tell us what you're looking at right now?
Sure. So I use technical analysis as the foundation of my, you know, exits and entries, but always keeping an eye on the fundamental landscape, particularly in Forex. Where their central banks really kind of lay the fundamental landscape and lay that kind of land for you. And then from there, you're using technicals to kind of pick where you're getting in and out. So the central bank this year, I think, has been very interesting, probably since 2008. But coming out of 2015, where you kind of had a topping in equities, we've got a couple of dips. All of our central banks want to be dovish. So everyone desires to be dovish. Everyone wants a weak currency, but only a few of them can get away with it. So just looking into the next part of this year, or the latter half of this year, who's going to be dovish and who's really going to have a weak currency as a result of that is very interesting. So you have the ECB and the BOJ, first time having negative interest rates in history, and their currencies have been doing very well, at least versus the pound. So remember, my context is always the Great British Pound. I know the euro hasn't been doing that well against the U.S. dollar, but against the British pound, it's been rallying for several months now, which has happened, and the rally actually kicked off with the negative interest rate. So it's been interesting to see that. We've seen the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, they want to have a weak currency and have actually been probably two of the first central banks that haven't combated the strength in their currencies. They don't like it. They hate it. They talk against it as much as they can, but they haven't really done anything about it. And how can they? They have the highest interest rates in the world right now, in the major developing economies. And so understanding those juxtapositions versus, you know, in sentiment and in interest rates, which, you know, our fundamental landscape, you start to understand how the currencies then move against each other, which is essentially what we're doing when we're trading currency pairs. So when I pick my exits in, so then when I go to the charts, I can, you know, understand what direction I'm looking for and how I want to get in and out based on very specific technical indicators.
So like many other great traders we've had on this show, we talk about how they use fundamentals as a theme or a story as to what's happening in the market.
Yeah.
And then we look at technicals to prove those stories or themes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. So I completely relate to that. And I think that's important for all traders to understand is that when you're doing fundamental homework, the technicals, they prove that theory.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying, right? Okay, good. Now, let's talk about the Brexit. It is by far the biggest event of the trading year.
Yeah.
And it's probably the biggest event we've had in many years. And I'm curious, because you're a British pound trader, I want to know, how were you trading the pound that week and then since then?
So that exact week, I was not trading the pound at all. Which is funny. I had some subscribers of mine, and I told them that Friday, before the vote, that we're done. And I got a lot of, you know, what do you mean? And it was, you know, for me, opportunities are coming and going in the markets. And when there is that much uncertainty, it's just not worth the capital to try to guess which way it was going to go. And I had really was of the mind, and maybe a lot of traders were, that they were going to be stayed. It was rare, and there have been plenty of referendums before this Brexit referendum, that the citizens had always voted status quo, and there was no change, and it turned out to be a non-event. So there was a lot of volatility ahead of Brexit, especially into June. And I had been hearing Brexit for quite a while, really all year since we entered 2016. It didn't come on a lot of traders' radars until about May, and that's when the volatility started to pick up. So we were actually doing a lot of range trading, and the sterling rallied, as many know now, ahead of that actual vote. But I was actually on the sidelines during that event, and got back in thereafter, and was really able to sell the sterling against a lot of currency pairs. For about 3 weeks, we were making new lows in the sterling across the board. And then last week actually is our first time that we weren't making new lows. And the Great British Pound has a way of having everyone think that it's doing one thing, especially on a fundamental event, and then putting in a bottom or a top wherever we are in the market. And I think going forward, traders should be careful not to confuse the Brexit event for outright pound weakness. I don't think that we will get pound weakness for the duration of the year. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm actually anticipating a nice rally, which would be a correction, a nice rally higher before we could even put in new lows going forward.
Interesting. So let's talk some technicals here. I know that you have some levels that you wanted to share with our audience on some specific pairs you were watching. So let's take it a step further and talk to us about those levels.
Sure, sir. So with cable, the pound dollar, I think you've got to look at $1.35. And it's been capping corrections, or it's been capping rallies at least several times last week and the week before. But interestingly, if you took a retracement of Fibonacci across the entire Brexit move from $1.50 down to $1.2791, we don't get the Fib levels come up above $1.35. So $1.35 is our multi-decade low. We haven't traded at these levels in a very, very long time. So it makes sense that $1.35 would cap rallies right now. But if we get above $1.35, I think we could easily see $1.40. So that's that $1.35 is our key level really for the year. And if we stay below it, we should trade back below $1.30. But I anticipate us trading above it for a correction that will take us into $1.40, even as high as $1.41, $1.42.
So I want to pick your brain a little bit. So when you look at those bigger picture levels, are you trading them when you say 135, then maybe you can go to 140? What are some of the technicals that you're using for your execution to trade directionally to those next levels?
Yeah, so I use the Fibonacci, but I use them on a smaller time frame. So I can look at I'm looking at these bigger picture levels, but to really execute, you have to kind of drill down into the smaller time frames, and then you can, I use the Fibonacci and along with the RSI, and just to gauge momentum and to see if we're having some divergences, and then pick entries accordingly. But my entries and exits are really dictated by the Fibonacci. I keep it really simple. I use the Fibonacci levels, support and resistance, and momentum.
Great. Well, Lydia, thank you very much. Now, are you ready for our rapid fire segment?
Sure.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you four questions to get to know you a little bit better. Now, what's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
It has to be Trading for a Living, which I know is really old, but it was the first book that I read that really not only encouraged me to read charts for myself. I told you when I got into Forex trading, I had a system, or I bought a system and really abandoned the system once I really learned how to read charts and technicals for myself. And it also cued me into the psychology of trading, which as a newbie, I didn't know about. And, having invested in stocks, I was doing buy and hold. So there's no psychological challenges there. But Trading Forex, oh my goodness. So Trading for a Living was the first book and still my favorite.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
The Big Short. Hands down. I know it's new. It was so well done. It was so good. It became my favorite instantly.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
I would say it would be get to know the charts for yourself. You can get a lot of education, support, mentors, systems, but once you can really look at the charts and analyze them and do your own homework, and then use the support from others, you are well on your way.
Now, if you can give a piece of advice to the young people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
I would definitely say find your market or find your pair or find your instrument, whether it's stocks or futures, that really speaks to you, that you can really get a handle on and learn. Narrow your focus as opposed to trading everything out there. Really narrow your focus and then go bigger or broader.
Lydia, I had a blast speaking with you today. I know that you're busy. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to add to today's show?
No, I want to thank you so much for having me on. Yes, actually, I want to talk a little bit about the Quid Report. It's a weekly research report that I put out, specifically about the pound pairs. I do all the major pairs on a weekly basis. There's a private Twitter feed along with that. So as the markets update as necessary, I give updates. You can find it at bit.ly/Quid Report, and the Q and the R have to be capitalized, just to point that out. But this is new. I've been doing it for a year. I'm having a lot of fun with it because it's honing my trading. So it's helped me a lot because it's forcing me to do homework in a more formal way. And I just encourage people just to check it out.
Oh, definitely. And also, where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, Faith Might. So at Faith Might, you find me on Twitter. You find me on Facebook at Faith Might FX. And my blog right now is faithmightfx.com.
Yeah, I definitely recommend checking everything out there, Lydia. Once again, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know I learned a lot about how a British pound trader approaches the market. And so I thank you for that. And I look forward to having you again on the show in the future.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Anthony.
Thanks for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us and leave a review on iTunes. For previous episodes or to discuss and comment about the show with myself or my guests, please visit us at futuresradioshow.com. Don't forget to become a premium member today for free by signing up to our email list.